So we're done. Proverbs 31. Who had an idea about Proverbs 31 that's different now? Do you have an idea at the beginning that wasn't correct? Maybe changed a little bit in how we view this chapter? I hope so, because it's been a super good journey. So I wanted to just start by reading a modern Proverbs 31 version to us this morning that we might be able to maybe identify with a little bit better. A satisfied woman who can find, she has far too many Pinterest ideas than life's timetable affords her to complete. The heart of her husband wonders what she may think up next. He will have no lack of new ideas from her. She begins many good projects in their home all the days of his life. She seeks chia and flaxseed and creates endless smoothies in their high-powered blender. She navigates Amazon like a prime queen, bringing packages to their doorstep in just 2 days. She rises while it is still night, nursing the baby, fumbling in exhaustion come daylight. She considers a Craigslist post and buys it. With the fruit of his hands, she plans another project. She dresses herself in yoga pants every day and lets the kids dress themselves. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable and she sells it on all the online portals. She is too good for no task. Vomit, feces, phlegm, and snot have nothing on her. She opens her hands to whoever is right in front of her and loves them as best as she can. She makes her bed as often as she can. Her clothes are sometimes put away from the laundry basket. Her husband is known as the one who circles the parking lot in a minivan while she runs into just one more store. She brews kombucha 5 gallons at a time and knows how expensive it is to purchase. Afternoon homemade iced lattes are her mainstay. She laughs as she watches videos on Facebook. She opens her mouth with wisdom and tells her husband how much of it she has for him. Of course. She ensures grass-fed hot dogs in her refrigerator, but eats not buns because she cannot eat grains. Her children rise up too early and call her mommy. Her husband gets up instead. Many women have young children, but few redo the bathroom, write articles, blog, meal plan, run errands, take classes, do laundry, and still have energy to think up yet more projects. In our society, perfection is praised and beauty is all that matters, but a woman who knows she is deeply loved by God will find internal rest. Give her a vacation alone to Hawaii, and may her home be in good order and her children well-behaved when she returns. There you go. We've spent a lot of time with our Proverbs 31 friend this semester. We've seen what wisdom lived out in our lives looks like in different seasons of our lives, what working hard looks like, keeping a home, preparing meals, practical things, hospitality, resourcefulness, what that looks like. Hopefully studying this passage, though, has helped us realize that this isn't who we're supposed to be all the time, every day, in every season, our entire life. I hope that's been clear. But rather, it is the possibilities and what God calls us to be when we walk in wisdom, in truth, and obedience to Him. Then these things are possible as He calls us to do them. So I want to end this study the way we started. I want to look at Proverbs 31, verse 29 to 31. It should be on the screen. Our last three verses. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So we end our study the way we started. Does anybody remember verse 10? A wife of noble character who can find. So we have many women do noble things and a woman of noble character who can find. So we start and end with the same idea. We're reminded that these character traits make us women of noble character. Do you think of yourself as noble? That's a word that I find interesting. I often, when I think of noble, I think maybe royalty, someone who's maybe a little bit beyond somebody else, higher class in society, piety perhaps, or good breeding or something like that. And yet, when you look at the Hebrew word for noble in both of those verses, the word is eshet shayil. It's translated valor. So when you see the word noble character in Proverbs 31, it means valor. a woman of valor who can find. Valor has less to do with what you do and more to do with how you do it. It speaks to bravery, stick-to-itiveness, strength and tenacity, strong will, a confidence. We've talked about some of those character traits. When you think of men who go to battle, those that are in our military, and they come back bruised and broken but would do it all over again, that's valor. They're doing something that they know is good for somebody else, even though it's harmful to them, and they would do it all over again. They stick to it in what they believe in. So we could read our verse, many women do things with valor, but you surpass them all. Many women are brave and strong and selfless, but because you live with wisdom, you surpass them all. There's another woman in Scripture where this word is specifically used. We talked about her a little bit last year. Do you remember who that is? Her name is Ruth. And in Ruth 3, verse 10 and 11, Ruth is someone who traveled. She was a widow and traveled with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. And in this verse, in 10 and 11, we find her at the threshing floor where she goes and gathers grain to feed her mother-in-law and herself. And she's putting herself in a position to be noticed by Boaz, who owns the field. And she wants him to notice her and become her protector and her kinsman redeemer, the one who's going to bring her in to the household there. And Boaz notices her and says in verse 10, the Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed younger men. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. My fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Same word, eshit shail. You are a woman of valor. Some translations say excellent, but it's the same Hebrew word. These are the only two times that that word is used in the Old Testament. Ruth and our Proverbs 31 woman. And yet they're very different, and I find this fascinating. When you look at these two women, very, very different. Ruth is not a wife nor a mother when she earns her excellent status. She has no money, and she scrapes by on the leftovers of other people. She's not even an Israelite. Proverbs 31 woman says in verse 11, she has a husband who trusts in her. Ruth does not have a husband. She's a widow. Proverbs 31, verse 13, our Proverbs 31 woman looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. But Ruth doesn't have time for such things. She has to rise early and go gather scraps. Proverbs 31 woman, she brings food from afar in verse 14, exotic dishes to delight not just her family, but her servants as well. Ruth, on the other hand, brings home a simple meal of barley every day for her and her mother-in-law. The woman of Proverbs 31 considers a field and buys it. Ruth also considers a field, maybe where she can pick up leftovers and doesn't own anything. Proverbs 31 extends her hand to the poor in verse 20, while Ruth would be that poor person that she extends her hand to. Ruth's life situation and story is very different than our Proverbs 31 friend, and yet the same word, eshit shail, is used for both, and it's said of both of them that they will be praised at the city gate. So I didn't realize until studying for this that in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth, the book of Proverbs is right before the book of Ruth. That's not that way in our Bibles. But in the Hebrew Bible, Proverbs is right before Ruth. So when we finish Proverbs 31, verse 31, you would go right into the story of Ruth. Two women, back to back, very different women, who have noble character. Perhaps there's something beneath the possibly flawless skin of our Proverbs 31 woman, whose husband and children blessed her, and this quiet, poor, childless widow who gathers other people's food. Perhaps there's a virtue that has nothing to do with planting vineyards and buying land or gathering food and leftovers and scraping by. Perhaps what these women do or have is not the standard by which they're called women of valor. We read in Proverbs verse 31-30, we read that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So what we see here, I was just talking to someone, we need to put a little more makeup on to make this a little bit more presentable. It's you know, and more and more and more as the years go on. But this goes away. It fades. It dies. It hangs. The writer is saying that those things pass away. What is praiseworthy is her heart, her devotion and fear of the Lord. That is the reason she's a woman of valor. There's a point in our story of Ruth where she makes the decision to clothe herself with strength and dignity, and she becomes the Proverbs 31 woman. Ruth 1, 16 and 17 says, "Do not urge me," she's speaking to her mother-in-law, who said, "You know, you don't need to go with me. You're still young. You could get remarried. You need to stay and find a new husband." And Ruth says to her, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. The people shall be my people and your God, my God." Remember, she was not a believer. This non-Israelite woman is saying to Naomi, "I will hang in there with you, and what I've seen in you makes me want to know your God too. So we're going to do this together." So she trusted in God from that moment on, and she became the Proverbs 31 woman. She feared the Lord. She knew he would provide for them and protect them and show them the way. That's why she's a woman of noble character, not because she did things or had things. She didn't check off a Proverbs 31 checklist of things to do and have. But she lived her life with bravery and wisdom and honor. She was humble, not because she did stuff or had stuff or bought stuff or claimed to be somebody. She was called a woman of noble character because she feared God. What does it mean to fear the Lord? That's what we're going to talk about today. What does that look like in our everyday life? Fearing God doesn't mean that we're afraid of him or, you know, we look around every corner and he's going to come and discipline us for our bad attitudes or the things we've done wrong. That's not what that means. It speaks of reverence, of understanding who's in charge, of respecting his work in our lives, acknowledging who this all comes from. One quote that I found that I just loved says, "It is such a reverence for God that the one who fears him is gripped by a holy desire to please him." That's fear of the Lord. A reverence for God that the one who fears him is gripped by a holy desire to please him. We can't do anything else because we recognize that he's holy and I'm not. He's perfect and I'm not. And that so grips my heart that all I can do is please him. I am not there yet. Maybe you are. I am not there yet to have a holy desire that grips my heart to do nothing but please God. I wanted to look at some verses. You will look at some in your discussion time that speak to God's heart on this matter and what matters to him in this whole area. Deuteronomy 10, the verses will be on the screen. Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13 talks about what fearing the Lord means. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." What does the Lord ask of you? Not a perfectly manicured lawn, not children who never screw up, not marriages that never struggle, not finding the perfect house or working at the right job, not being the team mom, not immaculate homes or college pedigrees, or being a scout leader. What does the Lord ask of you? He asks that we fear him, that we walk in his ways, that we serve him and love him with all our hearts and obey. That's harder than an immaculate lawn and being a team mom. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Here's what matters. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." All those things we do to take care of our families, provide for our kids, give back to our community, support our husbands and our families. They're all good things. When they're done, in the power of Jesus Christ. But our sole duty here on earth is to fear God and obey Him. That's it. That's it. That is all we are called to do. If we're doing all these things, even I would say the things in Proverbs 31 that we talked about, if we're doing all these things because we're somehow striving to be noticed or loved or validated or filled up, or we want something to show for our lives, then ladies, we're not doing it for the right reason. And God says, you know, I'd rather have you obey than do all those things. Psalm 46 through 8 says, sacrifice and offering, this gets down to the nitty-gritty here. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Is our focus as moms and women on all that we're sacrificing for our families? How much free time we don't get? How many activities our kids are involved in so they don't fall behind socially or in sports? Are we concerned about what concerns the heart of God? Do you know what concerns the heart of God? A heart that is pure and focused, a heart that seeks Him above all else, a heart that waits for the call of God before moving forward, a heart that desires His will. The verse says, He doesn't desire all that we sacrifice or offer to Him if doing His will is not at the top of that list. Do we spend our entire day doing things and we say a little prayer at night when we go to bed? Then I would say we're doing all those things we did through the day in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own choice, and asking God at the end of the day to bless what I did, what I chose to do. One other verse that's important, 1 Samuel 15:22, part of that verse says, to obey is better than sacrifice. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were offered as a way to worship God and also to appease for their sin. Christ hadn't come to die yet, so they had to kill animals to appease their sin. And often sacrifices were offered out of duty and didn't change their behavior or cause obedience. And so it's in that context that God comes along and says, I don't want your sacrifice if your heart isn't changed. You can sacrifice all day long, but if you don't obey me, it doesn't mean very much. God is not interested in what we feel we are doing for Him. The sacrifices that we think we're making every day in our homes, and we'd make a lot, ladies. We sacrifice a lot. The striving that we do to make our lives comfortable and controlled and happy and Christ-like, the duties we perform to fill the hole in our heart, or create a picture that looks acceptable to society, God desires our obedience. He desires a heart that says, I desire to do your will, O God. He desires that we follow His word and His lead and what He's telling us to do. He desires that we're gripped with a holy desire to please Him. So what does that look like daily for us? Do we listen to the voice of God daily? Do you spend time with Him long enough to hear His direction for your day? Do you trust God's plan for your family, where your kids go to school, whether you should take that job, what team they should be on, where your husband should work? Or are you keeping control of that so that you fit into what's expected maybe from your family, your parents, your neighbors, your friends? Do you check with Him in the morning to say, God, what can I do for your kingdom today? Because there's days, ladies, where I'm literally at home all day. Like, if I didn't go out, I'd be home all day. Why on earth do I need to ask God what He wants me to do with my day? I've got nothing going on. So I don't ask Him. I think He wants me to ask Him. Because then maybe I wouldn't be home all day. I'd be up serving and doing other things. God, what do you want me to do today? For you today. Perhaps it's leaving the sink full of dishes, not very Proverbs 31, to minister to a needy friend. But we can get so task-oriented that we have to get our dishes done regardless, and we miss the who, the that God wants us to minister to. Perhaps you need to plan dinner out with your spouse who needs some time with you and let your kids fend for themselves. Not very Proverbs 31. No, perfect meals for the family. Oh, but I'm ministering to my husband, which honors God. See, it's different for everybody, different times, different seasons. Perhaps it's more time in the Word than on TV, or more alone and less activity. I don't know what it is for you. Fearing the Lord is listening to His voice tell us how to live our lives to honor Him. Fearing the Lord is listening to God's voice speak to us to tell us how to live and honor Him. Both Ruth and Proverbs 31 feared the Lord because they followed Him in their duties. What they were doing, buying land, making garments, cleaning the house, making the bed, gathering leftovers, serving her mother-in-law, who was really super grumpy and not very nice. They honored God in how they did them and then showed Jesus to those around them. Because Proverbs 31 ends by saying, there's a reward for the woman who lives a life of wisdom. She will be praised at the city gates. She will be honored by those who know her. God sees the work we do. He notices all the things we do for our families, for our communities, for our coworkers, the endless hours, the long lines we sit in, the many times we have to sit through a three-hour practice and a game, and your kid didn't even play. I mean, it's like I could go on. He sees all that. He notices you. And when we walk close enough to Jesus that He directs our steps and fills us up and we trust Him for our plans, then we will be praised here on earth as well. He promises that, which I think is really cool. Because this isn't just a super spiritual, when you get to heaven, you'll get your reward, ladies. Now just keep working. He's like, nope. You walk with me. You are so aligned with me. You connect with me. And I will reward you here on earth. But it's about me. Maybe these qualities we've studied this semester are hard for you. Most of our application questions for this week, since we aren't meeting next week, I purposely made them for you to contemplate. Which of these do I need to work on more? Of all these Proverbs 31 things. Maybe you need to make your home more of a priority, or maybe you need to adjust how you view your husband and what you say about him to other people. Maybe you need to get out of the chair. Jenny, that was really good. I made sure I put that thing way, way, way back in my garage somewhere so I didn't have to see it too often. Because I didn't like that weak topic. For me, it's being more disciplined at home so that when my husband comes home, things are picked up a little bit. And I actually have a plan for dinner. I'm serious. It sounds like a small thing. But many times I'm like, you know, I didn't get to the laundry and there's three loads unfolded and I don't know what we're going to do. It's 5:30 and I don't, really? What are you doing all day? When I see my role as a wife and a mom, someone who's blessed to be able to stay home as the primary nurturer of my family, I can come before God and say, help me do that calling better. That's where you have me. So help me do that better. Help me serve you by serving them, and in that way, I'm honoring God. So yes, cleaning my house and making a yummy meal is honoring to God. There's times, like when I'm preparing to speak, where I can spend hours and hours and hours in this, and those things go by the wayside, and that's okay, because that's what I'm called to do right now for this season. So there's less homemade meals, and maybe my kids need to chip in more. And then there's times where my husband is traveling, or he's had difficult things at work, and he comes home, and his whole environment is pretty negative, so he's kind of, you know, not so great to be around sometimes. And he doesn't do as much to help, and he expects more from me. So what attitude do I have when that happens? I'm not always good at doing more without complaining, but obedience for me requires doing more without complaining. And asking the Lord to give me the energy I don't feel I have and more time to do what needs to be done. And you know what? He gives us the wisdom, as we talked about last time, to know how to prioritize what's important, what can be left, what can I do tomorrow? Who can I minister to? Help me. He does all that. And He gives us energy to do all that. But we're running around and racing around and signing up and doing things and run, and we're exhausted. And then we ask God at the end of the day, oh, just help me. And he's like, why? You got it all figured out? Have you stopped to ask me if you should be doing any of those things? And God made that clear to me recently. As I came to him with my list of things, how come I don't get more help with this? Why am I the one that has to do, and no one says thank you? Anyone else? I have worked at church for years and I've gotten not one thank you note. Why do I always have to wait? We are good at doing a lot and we do it well, but we're also victims. We're really good at being victims, I think. Am I the only one, too? No? Okay. God has spoken to my heart recently as I've come to him with that, and he has said, is any of what you're doing, Tracy, what I want for you? You seem to be sacrificing a lot. You seem to be doing a lot, and you're saying even more to anyone who will listen. I don't want your sacrifice. I want your obedience. But I'm really good at doing all these things, and you know, it's all... Because he also says, you know what, Tracy, you're not doing these things for them, your family, your husband, your kid. You're doing it for me. And I notice. You're obeying me. You're not doing it for the reward here. So when you love the person in your family that's unlovable and they don't get it, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for me. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's an attitude shift. That's what Ruth in Proverbs 31 had. They worked hard, they gave to others, they kept long hours, they sacrificed for their families, they were disciplined and hospitable and creative, etc., etc., etc. But above all, they feared the Lord and they followed the voice of God who led them each day. They trusted his plans for their life. Ruth had no future. She had no husband, which at that time meant she had nothing. No one to protect her. And a mother-in-law that she was with the rest of, she had nothing. And yet she said, I will follow God and trust him with my life. If you're a stay-at-home mom with young ones, be a stay-at-home mom with valor, who fears the Lord, who commits her day to the Lord in the midst of all her mom duties, who asks guidance for her kids, what things should be done around the house, what you can leave, what you should focus on, and how best to minister to your family. If you work full-time, do it with valor and glorify God in your doing. Commit your schedule to the Lord and know that he sees you and he knows your career path, and it's not your agenda, it's his, and you acknowledge that. And those that you work with will notice that, because you're not striving to be something different. If the kids are grown and out of the house and you find yourself in a season of wondering what's next, enter into that season with valor and fear the Lord. Ask him what your next ministry might be, or not, how you can serve, or maybe you're not supposed to. Lean into Jesus and allow him to define who you are now. Continue to love that husband who's just newly retired and home all day. And invest in the next generation. If you aren't married, be a single woman with valor who fears the Lord. Let him minister to your soul and guide your dreams and your passions and your desires. Be a woman who's praised because she isn't controlling or manipulating her circumstances to meet her own need. See, being a woman of noble character is for all of us, no matter what season of life we're in. Sometimes it's spending more time at home than at the office. Sometimes it means saying no to things that excite you to minister to others. Or maybe it's saying yes to you so you can get filled up. Your kids will be fine. They don't die eating cereal 2 nights in a row. They'll be fine. Sometimes it means maybe being more disciplined at home so when your family comes home, it's not chaotic and rushed. But most of the time, it's an attitude that has nothing to do with what we have
where we live, who we're married to, who our kids are, whether we're married or not. It's an attitude of coming before God and saying, all I'm doing today is changing diapers and sitting in carpool. How can I do that with valor and do what you want me to do? He gets into the nitty-gritty in our lives. He will speak to you about that. Because I've said many times in my life, all I am is a blank. I'm a sports mom. I don't even have a first name. I'm Joshua's mom. I'm Craig's wife. I'm my mom's daughter. I mean, who am I? What? He tells you. He tells you. Asking him what he wants for your day, how he wants to use you today, what obedience looks like today. That's a great question, Lord. Show me what obedience looks like today. Because honestly, I have no idea. I don't even know what that means practically. I'm honest with you. Like, I don't know what that means. He'll tell you. Things will come to your mind. And then when they come to your mind, you do them. That's the obedience part. Yeah. Our Proverbs 31 woman was strong, creative. She worked with her hands. She was wise. She had a critical eye for quality. She served others. She kept her home. She loved her family well. And we said when we started that this wasn't a real woman who was perfect. And she did all these things simultaneously. It's what we look like at any given time when we are fully devoted to Jesus. When it's his will that we desire. And he'll make it clear, and it'll look different for you than it does for you. And it does for you. That's why we don't go around, well, she has this and they have. That's her season. That's what God's calling her to do. That's how he blessed her. Because I'm walking with Jesus. And he's telling me what a wise woman looks like. May God lead us all to his heart. That's my prayer as I was thinking about this week and thinking how we're wrapping up. May God lead us to his heart that we are so close to Jesus that I know. Not perfect. Not I don't mess up. My marriage doesn't get fixed. My kids still don't obey. I still got stuff around. Not perfect. But I know. And the Lord's forgiven me for that, and I'm starting over tomorrow. How can I obey you today? Because sacrifice is not as good as obedience, and I desire to do your will, oh God. Amen? We can do this. We can do this in the power of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this chapter. It's been enlightening in a lot of ways. It's been convicting in many more ways. Challenging. There's topics that have been harder than others and things it's like we wish we didn't know that because now we have to do something with what we just learned. And it's easier to just stay the same. Sometimes it's easier to just, oh, I don't know how to do that. Or I've tried that. Or you don't know my situation. But God, you do. You know us intimately. You love us so much. You know my tendency. You know my sin. You know how much I'm trying. You know what I desire. And I love that you come to us here this morning at PCC in this room, and you're sitting next to us, and you have your arm around each woman in this room, and you're saying, don't do this by yourself. Walk with me. Because I have bigger things, Tracy, for your life than you can imagine for yourself, and I want to use you, but you got to walk with me. You have to obey. You have to say yes and stay connected to me. So, Father, forgive us for the times that we don't do that. Give us a renewed joy and a renewed desire to do your will and your will alone and to commit to you all the days of our life because we are beautiful women when we honor you. And I commit all of this in your precious name. Amen.